Welcome to RTS Reloaded, where we deep dive into the pulse of real-time strategy games. I'm your host, Judge Thunder, bringing you the latest, the greatest, and the timeless in the world of RTS. Today, we're unpacking an epic moment in StarCraft history and spotlighting the future of RTS with games like Stormgate and Zero Space. Okay, let's start off at base camp to discuss what we will go over this episode. We'll start off going over SC2 IEM Katowice 2024, then transition to everything going on with Stormgate, including the ECG Open, patch notes, NextFest numbers, and opening Kickstarter for late backers. We will also discuss a recent interview with Zero Space's lead multiplayer designer, Katz, interview conducted by Spiral Biscuit. We will touch quickly on Immortal Gates of Pyre, but first, we need your input to navigate the battlefield ahead. If you have questions on a specific RTS game or deep dives on strategies and game mechanics to tips for your next campaign victory, we're ready to cover it all in our upcoming episode. So feel free to submit them over on our Twitter/X, Discord, or on our subreddit. I'll link below and we'll answer them on our next episode's Commander's Call section. Okay, let's dive right into it. Diving into the heart of the IEM Katowice 2024, we witnessed what was hands down the most insane championship run in StarCraft II's history. Serral, the Finnish phenom, didn't just win, he obliterated the competition with a flawless 8-0 in matches, a mind-blowing 20-1 map score, and a brutal 4-0 sweep against Maru in the grand finale. This wasn't just a win, it was a statement. Comparing this to the legends of the past, like MVP 16-1 run in Code S in January of 2011, or Nesty's perfect 14-0 in Code S July 2011, Serral's rampage stands out even more, especially with that hefty $150,000 first prize at Katowice 2024. Walking in as the favorite, Serral didn't just meet expectations, he smashed them into orbit. On this episode of RTS Reloaded, we're all about celebrating Serral's legacy, the evolution of competitive StarCraft II, and those jaw-dropping moments that make IEM Katowice the esports event you don't want to miss. Serral himself said it best in his post-finals interview, claiming he gave it his all and doubting he could perform any better. If that's not peak gaming, I don't know what is. Even though IEM Katowice lost its World Championship badge in 2024, the event's legacy and its massive $500,000 prize pool kept its World Championship vibe alive. Serral, snagging his third World Championship tier title, ties him with legends like Rogue and SOS for the most in SC2 history. Kicking off his run, Serral got lucky with a draw into Group C, dubbed the easiest of the round of 24 groups. But let's be real, luck had little to do with his perfect 10-0 group stage record, or his path through a gauntlet of StarCraft II's finest, like Clem, Dark, and Maru. Each match was a testament to Serral's dominance, his strategic depth, and his ability to adapt and overcome any challenge thrown his way. But it wasn't all smooth sailing. The playoffs tested Serral's mettle with Clem's mid-game infantry pressure and Dark's early-game Ling Bane attacks pushing him to the limit, yet Serral's preparation and execution were unmatched, showcasing why he's the player everyone fears. The grand finale against Maru was the clash of the titans we'd all been waiting for. Serral's strategic brilliance shone through, from overwhelming Maru with superior resources in Game 1 to executing a masterful tech switch in Game 2 that clinched his victory after a grueling 40-minute slugfest. Serral's IEM Katowice 2024 run wasn't just a win, it was a legendary performance that solidifies him as the greatest StarCraft II player of all time. With unmatched skills, strategic genius, and a competitive spirit that's second to none, Serral isn't just a player, he's a force of nature in the competitive StarCraft II scene. Alright, let's dive into Stormgate Strategy Session. Stormgate's beta just got an extension until March 11th, and they lifted the NDA until then as well, so feel free to share your epic plays and hot takes. If you were one of the backers who pledged 40 or more on Kickstarter, not only did you get to keep playing, but you also snagged an extra key to bring a buddy into the fray. And hey, if you missed the initial pledge train, Frost Giants got your back. In a recent announcement stating late pledges will be opening up this week with a target date of Friday, February 23rd. They're working tirelessly to possibly launch even sooner, offering this chance exclusively for new pledges. For those ready to join the fray, two special pledge options will be available, granting access to the current beta phase, codenamed Elephant. The Deluxe Founders Package, priced at 40, includes a hero from each of the three initial factions, the first chapter of the Vanguard campaign, an army, accent, cosmetic, a Founders Discord role, and a unique chicken pet. For those looking for even more, the Ultimate Founders Pack, at $60, includes all the deluxe perks, plus the second and third chapters of Vanguard campaign, which are shareable with friends in an exclusive Hellfire Fog of War skin. Both options come with Wave 2 beta access, promising entrants a spot in the ongoing beta phase before its conclusion on March 11th, as well as participation in future testing phases. The late pledge system is being facilitated through GameFound, and the team extends their heartfelt gratitude for the community's patience and support. In other awesome news, Stormgate crushed it at Steam's Next Fest this February, snagging the title of the number one most played RTS game. It didn't stop there, though. Stormgate was the second most played game overall during the fest and climbed its way up to being the number 39 most wishlisted game on Steam. If you want more information, I'll have it linked with this episode on rtsreloaded.com. All right, we are going to go over the patch notes from 2.13 Elephant Balance Patch. Let's start with the bug fixes. There was a fix for high APM players should no longer experience total client freezes late in games. Apparently I was really lucky and this never happened to me as an extremely high APM player. And unit active abilities should no longer have a negative effect on frames per second. Bob Overcharge can no longer be cast on command post under construction. This is a huge nerf. It was really nice to start building and then pop it so that they would build it faster. What you have to do is hit it as your bobs are running over to build it and catch them right at the end so they can maximize their bob overcharge time. But if you send three or four, it'll definitely be done before the buff is over. You can no longer launch sensor drones from the command post under construction, which makes sense. Shroudstone Manifestation can no longer be cast near shrines or shroudstones under construction. That makes sense. It's probably too easy to defend. Doesn't benefit someone who plans early or does things correctly. So, and then also Shroudstone Manifestation can no longer be cast near enemy shrines or shroudstones. Honestly, this was hilarious in Infernal versus Infernal. Had a lot of fun just throwing up a few of these with my push next to their shroud stones. So a little sad that that's gone, but I totally get it. Fix an issue where Nightfall Infestation could follow a target unit. It's never really happened to me. I didn't see it too much. Not sure how much it affected other players, but I mean, this is good, but I didn't really see a lot of it. Health camps now provide the intended heal rate of 8 health per second. This is a huge buff, making health camps even better, considering they give you Therium, which is the ore or gas of Stormgate. So now these camps are amazing. I have had some issues with it where if I take the health camp and then I get pushed in, the other team can like sit on the health camp and heal up too. So I gotta better defend that if I take it, but the healing is amazing now and it heals super fast and it's really, really good. So really happy for that buff. Fix an issue where lancers and medtechs could unintentionally fit through certain walled off areas. Yeah, for a short stint, medtechs and lancers were skinnier than scouts, the scout dogs, which was funny to see them squeeze through when, you know, smaller dogs could not. But again, it was unintentional, but still very funny. Magmadon's trample ability can no longer affect air units or structures. This totally makes sense. I think it was hilarious that it affected air units, probably making them the stump stun even better. Totally makes sense. Good fix. Medtech system shock ability now correctly dispels infests. The Vulcan's jump jet ability will no longer be blocked by an enemy corpse. Never really saw it, but I could see that being hilarious and also frustrating. Balance change. Level 2 speed camps have been updated to spawn fewer goats. This is a directly because Infernal would go over and get like five fiends right off the rip, which was super helpful early game. So I think they've changed it to three, which makes more sense. You still get three fiends, so it's not that bad. Let's go into Vanguard Scout. Brilliant Claws upgrade cost increased from 25-25 to 50-50, and also the research time increased from 30 to 60. This is a direct result that Vanguard pretty much opened up dogs a lot, and they would just get 25 Therium really quickly, do the upgrade, have five or six dogs out on the map that would absolutely tear up our Luminite lines, Therium miners, also any light units like Gaunts or Exos, and also help control the map. Now, I didn't mind their ability to control the map early because I feel like Infernal really does that now. They really just control the map early because they can get a couple of Gaunts and a Brute out pretty fast. But I still think it was good because now it'll allow for different kind of openers and dogs won't be so overpowered early. Medtech supply cost increased from 2 to 3. It's fine. Just build more habitats, I guess. Hedgehog, mobilized hedgehog ammo recharge time decreased from 1.2 to 1, and their deployed ammo recharge time decreased from 0.6 to 0.5. Hedgehogs are annoying. They're super fast, and they do a ton of damage when they hit you with all five of their rockets in rapid succession. The recharge time's fine. It's really the big burst damage that you are worried about. Vulcan range increased from 7 to 8, so the Exos have a range of 7, so they were probably butting up against each other when they were going into fights, especially if you were F2ing. So now putting them in 8 will put them slightly behind, but it will put them in front of Medtechs who have a range of 8.5. So I think it's a good spot. I do think they're tankier and they should probably be in front of your Exos, but it will spread them out a little more and probably cause a little less bunching. Evac release Skymine cooldown decreased from 120 seconds to 20 seconds. This is great. I didn't think anybody really used it, you know, back when it was free. But now it costs 15 Luminite, which isn't a lot, and it now persists until detonated or killed. I haven't really seen one go off in any either pro matches, tournaments, or anything. Most of the time it just gets killed, but I do like seeing it used more now. Hornet, the reclaim claimer stingers damage decreased from 10 to 8. Just deal so much damage. Hornets are annoying, so any decrease in damage from them is great. And the flat cannon anti-air range increased from 10 to 12, which is probably a direct result of Hornets. I don't think Spriggans deal too much damage to worry about at this point. And then also for the flat cannon, attacking an air unit will now only deal splash damage to other air units. I wasn't aware that it was dealing splash to air and ground, so good to know and good fix. All right, we're going to go over to Infernals. Hellspawn Resurgence Animus cost increased from 25 to 40. That's the one where if you use it on a building and say you have zero charges, it'll instantly give you three charges back to spawn more units. It was great, and even at 40, it's still great. So Flamed Imp damage decreased from 100 plus 100 versus structures to 100 plus 50 versus structures. Still great. You see Parting. Use them a lot. Brute, the Thunder Soul ability now grants spawned fiends with max white health. And we're going to go over that in the next section. Fiends. All fiends start with zero white health by default, down from 7.5. This includes both fiends born from infest and ones that drop from brutes on death. So there's the keyword on death. You can pre-split your brutes, get you fiends, and if you do that you get the full white health. But if you don't pre-split them or let them die and they turn into fiends, then it'll be zero white health and then also fiends. So like say you have a gaunt that's hitting a dog on the other team, turns into a fiend, it'll also have zero white health. So this is going to be interesting. Probably do a little more microing when it comes to brutes so you can pre-split them, get that extra white health. To give your fiends a little more shot to stay alive. And their movement speed was increased from 6 to 7. This brings it on par with scouts or dogs at 7 speed, so they can keep up with them and move around the map just as quickly. Gaunt weapon bounce range decreased from 5 to 3.5. This was fine. I don't think it affects too much. It's a slight nerf, but having infests initially when they spawn is still really, really great. Okay, the Doombringer can now load units while in mobilize mode. This is huge, being still in the air and able to pick up units. I think it's great. It's a huge buff for Doombringer, and especially, I think they're calling it a tier 1.5 unit. You can get one out at 334 minutes and be ready to go with a few gaunts for a gaunt drop or a doom drop, which is, I think, what they were going for, considering this thing slams on the ground and drops all its units at once, which is honestly super cool. Also decrease the inner radius from 0.5 to 0.1 and outer radius from 1 to 0.5. I think this is because sometimes it would get stuck in the air when you're trying to slam down and look for an open spot, so making it quite a bit smaller will help with it landing or finding a spot to land on. I think that's great. Magmadon, consume cooldown increase from 0.25 to 5 seconds. Consume is when they eat a fiend or a hog and they get their full white health back. So in the middle of a fight, you could be spamming this on your Magmadons and keep up your white shield. All right. Hellborn supply cost increase from 5 to 8. That's quite a big increase. So more meat farms for the Infernals. Their cost increased from 150-150 to 250-225. Health increase from 200 to 260. Oof. Yeah, that's a huge price increase for a little more health, but it gets extra stuff as well. Damage increase from 30 plus 40 verse structures to 50 plus 50 verse structures, which is great. And then their cone splash damage increase from 15 plus 20 verse structure to 25-25 verse structure. So the extra cost is for the health and the extra damage. It's kind of it's a balance. Not really a nerf or a buff, but just a balance with the Hellborn unit as a whole. All right, the Shadow Flyer now deals 125 damage to its primary target and 50 damage in an area of 3, down from 125 in the entire area. These little things are already being figured out. For example, if you send him after a Hornet that is returning to Hangar, it cannot keep up, and you cannot, once it locks on a unit, it's locked on, you can't pull it off. So if they fly back to Hangar, which is going faster than the Shadow Flyer, and somehow attack it before it reaches there, doesn't do any damage. Still a fun, great unit, good anti-air on the Infernal side, definitely a nerf there. All right, last but not least, the Weaver, lash cooldown increased from 12 seconds to 16 seconds. Oof, I love this move. I think it's so fun. It's akin to the Viper Abduct from StarCraft 2, and it is really fun. So increasing the time is less fun, but maybe people are using it a lot. I don't know, or abusing it. I see it being used to great effect, and also they're so tanky, but they are by far the slowest unit in the game. And the lash damage changed from 60 to 20% of a unit's max health. This is probably great for, you know, if you pull in like a Vulcan or something, as opposed to just instantly squashing an Exo or something like that. So really, really great units. And they also got hit with the consumed cooldown increase from 0.25 to 5, same thing as the Magmadon. So they can't just spam it to stay alive. So those are the patch notes. I think we have more patch notes coming out sooner than later. The Stormgate team is super active and super on the ball and just really want to see the game balanced and everyone have fun. So that's the patch notes for now. Discuss the ECG TV Stormgate Open. The tournament participants were the top four ranked ladder qualifiers, including Kiwon, Parting, Lucifron, and Vortix. Then the open qualifiers, Eric, Bossy, Prolu, Exostriker, Hydra, Kel, Night Phoenix, and Snoxtar. And the Katowice qualifiers, Clem, Probe, Laser, and Kelizar. The round of 16 were best of threes, quarterfinals were best of fives, semifinals were best of seven, the final was a best of nine. One map was vetoed by each player. The last remaining map is the first map. Loser picks the map after that, and because of the limited map pool, the same map could not be played twice in a row. The playoff opening featured a series of engaging matches, starting with Probe versus Snoxtar, where Probe took the series 2-1. dropping a map because of Snuktar's sneaky tower rush. The competition then moved to matches involving the Spanish brothers, Vortix and Lucifron, who both advanced by defeating their opponents, Bossy and Kelizar, in two straight games. Despite a diverse field, the quarterfinals were exclusively Infernal versus Vanguard matchups, which is impressive as there are only two factions to choose, and I would have expected a lot more mirror matches. In a standout series, Team Liquid's Elazer narrowly missed achieving a reverse sweep against Lucifron. Another highlight was the match between Night Phoenix and Kiwon, with Kiwon attempting a rush strategy in both games they played. Vortix demonstrated dominance through the day, winning his series against Clem without losing a single game, a distinction he shared with Parting. Final day maintained the excitement, with Jagged Maw becoming a focal point for aggressive play. Players aimed to control the map's central area to leverage siege camps effectively. Parting's match against Kiwon was particularly notable for a risky strategy by Kiwon in the third game, leading to a base trade scenario that resulted in Kiwon's loss. The finals between Vortix and Parting were intense, with an initial game restart controversy eventually resolving in Vortix's favor. The subsequent games were characterized by quick engagements and early concessions by Vortix, culminating in an eighth game where Parting secured his first major win in Stormgate. Congratulations, Parting. That was fun to watch. It was a great series and fun to watch. I think a lot of things are bound to change for this game, but having a tournament this early and have it be fun and interesting to watch is a treat and bodes well for the future of Stormgate. And honestly, I'm here for it. All right, switching gears to Zero Space Zone. Spiral Biscuit recently did an interview with Katz, lead multiplayer designer for Zero Space, on YouTube, and here are a few things Katz touched on. His excitement for 2024 in the RTS genre. The interview highlights a growing excitement and anticipation for the RTS genre in 2024, suggesting a resurgence or renaissance is underway. This excitement is built on the rich history of classic RTS games like Command & Conquer, Age of Empires, the StarCraft and Warcraft series. He also mentioned that there's a sense that both the gaming community and the industry are synchronizing in the enthusiasm for RTS games, indicating a collective movement towards revitalizing the genre. Now this brings us to his next point, where he said, "Rising tide lifts all boats." And Katz believes in the idea that the success of individual RTS games benefits the genre as a whole, fostering a supportive and interconnected community. Now he also talked about Zero Space has received overwhelmingly positive feedback from the hardcore RTS community, professional players, and content creators, indicating strong support and approval from key stakeholders in the gaming world. He also talked about his deep personal commitment to Zero Space, highlighting the emotional and passionate investment in the project. Despite challenges and the busy schedule, there's clear dedication to making Zero Space successful. The interview also underscores the importance of community engagement and the positive impact of sharing the game with fans and players, which have been both humbling and encouraging for the dev team. This YouTube video also includes Panda Bear Me, an RTS documentarian who really deep dives into the genre and its players, and Fear Dragon, a caster and legendary cannon rusher. I will have the link to this video below as well. All right, and we're going to touch a little bit on the section called Immortal Intel. All right. Now to move on to Immortal Intel, your Immortal Gates of Pyre update. Not much new in the Immortal Gates of Pyre front, but Tempo continues to be a valuable resource for alpha keys and gameplay showcases. For those curious about the gameplay or have questions, Tempo Stream is the place to be, and the lobbies are not super full right now. So if you want to 1v1 me, join the Discord or at me on Twitter/X, and I'll play a few games with you. Fair warning, I'm not good. Attention RTS enthusiasts, we want to hear from you. Your feedback is crucial in shaping the future of RTS Reloaded. Whether you've got praise, suggestions, or any thoughts you'd like to share, head over to our subreddit, Discord, Twitter, and contribute to the frontline feedback discussion. Let's work together to make RTS Reloaded the best RTS podcast out there. Also, I'd just like to highlight the supportive nature of new RTS games, where developers and players alike are rallying together to support the genre. It's honestly a testament to the community's passion and the collective effort to advance RTS games. I see other companies retweeting other companies, players supporting in the different games they play. It's really awesome to see and be a part of it. And that's another reason why I think going forward, the RTS genre is exciting to me. And I really can't wait to see what unfolds over the next few years. So don't forget to subscribe and follow us on our social platforms for the latest RTS news and updates. Share your thoughts, strategies, and love for RTS games with us. At the wrap of today's episode, remember, keep your bases built and your strategies bold. This is Judge Thunder with RTS Reloaded signing off. Game on, Commanders.